be seated. Jesus says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." So Jesus continues to catechize in his Sermon on the Plain. And the crowds are listening, but primarily he is speaking to his disciples. And within those disciples, you have the 12 apostles. Jesus is teaching his disciples what it means to be, in the language of the early church, a catechumen. That is to say, those who are being taught the basic primary doctrines of Christianity. Thus, being a catechumen, you were considered and you are a hearer of the Word of God. You hear the word of your good shepherd and you listen to him and you follow him. And as you listen and as you follow this word, you enter into a Christ-centered life. And as you are drawn deeper and deeper into this Christ-centered life, we mark a stage within that life that we call confirmation. But by no means is confirmation the end of the destination. It's merely a stop along the way in a very long and arduous battle. But it is noted here that we declare of you that you are a Christian, that you are baptized, that here is one who confesses the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Here is one who is receiving now the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and is now counted among the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. Here is another fellow saint in the church who stands alongside of you in this militant church, this suffering church, to confess with you against this ongoing war between God and the love of the world, between the ways of the good shepherd and the ways of the evil one. And so to rightly understand what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Plain, you must understand that your being in Christ defines your doing. Your doing does not define your being, for you all know that what you do often doesn't reflect who you are as God's children. For consider the 8 imperatives that Jesus speaks to primarily his disciples. What disciple of Jesus that is hated responds in love? What disciple of Jesus that is cursed responds with blessing? What disciple of Jesus that is abused responds with compassion and prayer? We hear this language of Jesus and we wonder, who does that? To which the answer is, nobody does that. No, not one is righteous. The old Adam clings to our flesh so fiercely that we have not the desire nor the will to embody the sermon that Jesus is preaching to us. But Jesus says, the Father is merciful. And the word that St. Luke uses for the word merciful is a rare word in the New Testament, but it expresses the state of being concerned with someone who has fallen into an unfortunate estate or state. This mercy, you see, is what ultimately leads the Father to offer up his Son for us who are otherwise in a most unfortunate state. That is, we know, who are sinful and unclean, who are misbelieving and filled with defiance and death. So what we are unwilling to do for ourselves, the Father in his merciful nature does for you. And so you want to know who God is, you want to know God's nature, here you see it. The psalmist crystallizes it when he sings that the Lord is merciful and he is slow to anger and he abounds in steadfast love. But we, in our sinful nature, I believe, often underestimate what an act of mercy can do in the life of a person in an unfortunate state. I think that often our reluctance to give mercy grows out of our discontent and the lack of results we see upon those whom we have had mercy upon. And yet, while these are well-worn reasons why we do not give mercy, we ought to remember that mercy is always never a matter of just simple ease, but mercy is always given in the context of suffering and sacrifice and fire. The Father's merciful love, as you know, was shown primarily in giving up His Son to the just judgments against sinful humanity, of which His Son was innocent but willing to pay for on our behalf. Therefore, God can and does use a moment of mercy to change a person's life. He uses a moment of mercy to change you from children of Adam who are destined unto death to children of Christ who are destined unto eternal life. He can use what man intended for evil, and He can turn it into good and therefore preserve the life of many. I think of the literary masterpiece of Victor Hugo. It's a French novel, and some people are not really enamored with French novels, Les Miserables. However, in the novel, Victor Hugo unfolds a story by which the protagonist, Jean Valjean, is a criminal, and he's imprisoned for stealing bread for his sisters in order to feed them. And he's been marked for life, and he will always be a convict. And he is forced to display in the narrative a yellow passport, and he's treated like an outcast. And he's passing through town, and he cannot find a place to stay, and ultimately he's offered refuge in a clergyman's house. And Valjean responds to this gracious hospitality by stealing the household silver. Now, when Valjean is caught and he's accused, the clergyman says, "Oh, the silver was a gift, and he forgot to take the candlesticks along with it." In Hugo's novel, this one small moment of mercy very much changes the trajectory of the life of Jean Valjean. So it is with the Old Testament lesson that you know quite well, and Joseph and his brothers. You know that you can feel the tension as the brothers fearfully stand trembling before their brother whom they have wronged so awfully, knowing that their brother holds all the cards and he is now risen in Egypt as co-regent with Pharaoh. And he could have easily destroyed them, but in tender mercy he doesn't preach to them at length about their sin, nor does he even expect them to go and tell their father, "Look, this is what they did to me." No, he simply has mercy upon them, and he loves them, and he forgives them, and he even weeps tears of joy that he has his brothers back. Therefore, it's not unusual that even already in the early church, Joseph was seen as a type of Christ. St. Ambrose would say that his fraternal devotion was like Jesus, who would say on behalf of humanity, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Therefore, Jesus, who holds all the cards and could destroy us, who stands judge over us and over all people, of whom we have offended with our thoughts and words and deeds, He receives us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and He welcomes us warmly, and He embraces us with His love and mercy. So perish the thought that where you and I would be, where how lost we would be without the mercy of our Heavenly Father, without the compassionate cross of the Son, and without the constant calling and wooing of the Holy Ghost through the Holy Gospel. Because no matter who you are and what your past has been, or whatever the fears of the future that you have, in mercy, your Heavenly Father knows how to navigate you through all of them. because he sees better than you do, and he knows better than you do, just like he did with Joseph. He wants you to be a catechumen of his son and to listen to him and to be hearers of his word all the days of your earthly life. He wants you to confess before the present generation, yes, I am a Christian, I am baptized, I confess the faith of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and I do this over against all false teaching, and I make no apology for it. And yes, where I've fallen into sin, which is often and repeatedly, by the way, I go to my Father's altar, where his Son's body and blood is given to me in mercy that I might eat and drink for the forgiveness of my sins. And once again, I declare before my brothers and my sisters in Christ, in my body and my life, the very merciful nature of my God and my Lord. For you must know that in mercy, our Heavenly Father is building something. And it's something that is special. It's called the new heavens and the new earth. And this new heavens and this new earth is not given for just a time, as is most buildings. But this is given for eternal life, where mortality puts on immortality and where the perishable puts on imperishableness. For in this life, as catechized children of God, we are given, yes, opportunities not only to receive mercy, but to give mercy. Yes, we are to turn to the other cheek. We are to love our enemies. We are to pray for them. We are to desire those sheep that have strayed from the sheepfold to return. We are to give of our tunic, and if they ask for our clothing as well, we are to give them everything. And no, this is not what we want to do. This is not easy. But it is who you are in Christ, and it is good, and it is right, and it is beautiful, and it is merciful. And so, like Father, we are the sons. Like the rabbi, we are the students of God. And like the merciful one, we are bearers of mercy. For yes, in the old creation, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. But in the new creation, the mercy of the cross doesn't fall far from the tree of the cross. And so we are born from above, as we learn, buried with Christ in baptism, into death, in order that that old man and death might die. Just that as Christ was raised as the new man from the dead by the glory and mercy of the Heavenly Father, we too might walk as new creations, not only in this life, but in the life to come. So today, yes, is a special day. But it's not in the sense that something out of the ordinary or unique is happening, but actually something quite ordinary, something that we often take for granted, but our Heavenly Father always joys in doing, that he gathers us here to teach us his word and to receive that word of God as our life, and then to come to his altar and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and to receive the forgiveness of our sins. Which is a long way of saying God having mercy upon us, forgiving us our sins, and giving us his Spirit and his life. Remember, God doesn't simply demand things and expect you to reach them by your own fiat or power. He gives that which he requires, and that is the mercy and the forgiveness that you need. For you are finished in mercy, that you would give such mercy to others. Your Father is merciful, therefore, I have no doubt you will be merciful. So don't be afraid of who you are in Christ Jesus. Be his sons, be his daughters, be his disciples, be his catechumens, be his hearers of the word, and therefore be bearers of his mercy. For you know best of all what this mercy in your own life and in its lavishness and richness has done for you, not only this day, but all the days of your earthly and into your eternal life. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.